Good morning, everyone. The time is 10 a.m. Today is Thursday, May 16, 2024, and I will call this meeting of the Texas Commission on Fire Protection to order. First off, I'd like to welcome everyone in the audience today. It's always great when we have almost every chair full.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being engaged in the business of the Texas Fire Service. So without further ado, we'll get to the agenda, and we'll start with our invocation. I'll ask Commissioner Vandegrift to give that, so if you'll please rise.
Mr. Chairman, could we recognize and keep in mind, since we are a Judeo-Christian nation, our brothers and sisters in Israel, because the atrocities that have been perpetrated on them, I think, are mind-boggling and harken back to the Holocaust, and I think we should keep them our prayers.
Okay, perhaps a moment of silence before we do our invocation.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for a day here to publicly speak your name and just praise you for what you do. Lord, we thank you for everything that weather-wise that you're giving us in moisture, that'll pay dividends in the future for us. Lord, I pray for every man and woman in this room and their agencies and families that they represent. We pray just safety and a hedge of protection over them and safe travels. Their time to and from this meeting and for their summertime trips and whatever else may be going on. Lord, we continue to keep those who have fallen doing this job that you gifted to do. We keep them and their families in our prayers. And Lord, we just ask that you help us make the right decisions for the Texas Fire Service during this meeting. Lord, we thank you for your son who you sent to die for us, who gives us this right and this option to go directly to you and talk to you. Lord, we thank you and love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Please join me as we pay our respects to the flag of our country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now the flag of our state.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and invisible.
Thank you. You may be seated. One other thing I'd like to comment on, if you're here today for head of department to meet the certification requirement of attending a meeting, please make sure that you sign the blue book that's back there at the table by the door. Thank you. And we'll move to aisle number two, Commissioner Morgan.
Roll call for a quorum and excuse Commissioner Amson's absences, if any. Commissioner Cantu.
Here.
Commissioner Coatney.
Here.
Commissioner Vandegrift.
Here.
Commissioner Glenn.
Here.
Commissioner Hamilton.
Here.
Commissioner Morgan is here. Commissioner Smith.
Here.
Commissioner Friedeck.
Here.
Commissioner Steelman.
Here.
Commissioner DeVillis.
Oh, here.
Mr. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Wilson.
Here.
Commissioner Johnson.
Here.
Thank you. Looks like we have a full house. Thank you, Commissioners, for all being here today. We will move on to aisle number three.
Approve the Commission meeting minutes of February 29th,
2024. So moved.
Second. Okay. I have a motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Coatney to approve the minutes as presented. Any other discussion? All those in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion carries. Aisle number four.
Report from the Budget and Strategic Planning Ad Hoc Subcommittee, which met on April 9th, 2024. So I'm the chair of that committee. We met this morning prior to this meeting, went over the proposed strategic plan included in your packet. That was a early first draft as far as the plan goes. It's not final. That's why I was meeting this morning. We went through and the goals and everything. It looks great. Staff did an amazing job. They put it together very quickly in order to get it submitted within just a couple of weeks from now. So our only comments really relative to the plan, for the most part, were just editing-wise, eliminating duplicates, spacing, numbering, etc. So I do want to thank the staff. They did, again, an insurmountable job putting that thing together. It's not fun, clearly, to do that. And Barbara did a great job relative to the new budget summation, if you saw that in your packet. Again, excellent, looks great, and appreciate the staff's work on that. I do think Commissioner Glenn might have wanted to bring up something in that regard.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Glenn.
Yeah. Yes, sir. One of the things we were talking about and pointing out was
the constraints that we have within the budget, the number of full-time positions that we have, compliance officers, being able to go out and do inspections. And one of the things that I pointed out was one of our local affiliates was letting me know, sent me a picture wanting to find out who their compliance officer was, because he sent me a picture of their bunker boots that were clearly not up to par, had a hole in them, and wanted to find out who they could, you know, lean on from the state to put pressure on their city to make sure that they were providing them the proper bunker gear. We try to work real hard with relationships and good labor management relationships within between our fire chiefs, city managers, city council, and our unions. And so I reached back out to this union president to find out if he had heard from his compliance officer, and one of the things he had said was that they had, the chief had promised them that they were on order, and they did end up coming in, and so we didn't move forward with an investigation. But the point that I was trying to make this morning, and I think to share with everyone else, is that we have, I think Chief Wisco said there's 30 open investigations right now, and this was another department that isn't a part of that 30. So you just think about all the cases that might be out there and the things that need to be done the right way. Sometimes our cities that are also constrained with their budgets, and where if our fire chiefs are given the proper funding to run their departments, they might be a little limited from the city council or from the city manager's office. So we want to make sure that we have the proper personnel, the proper amount of personnel for Chief Wisco to deploy across the state. And so putting in a request and setting it up so that we can have a good argument to be made for adding more people would be important.
I appreciate the comments, Commissioner, and I just want to drive home that as we strive to become a kinder, gentler branch of government, when the compliance officers go in and do their inspections, when there are violations that are identified, we give the departments an opportunity to present us with their plan on how they're going to make those corrections, and then we work with them to essentially hold them to their own plans, and that includes checking back with them, timelines. We ask them to let us know when things change and develop. One of the biggest issues in the last 2 years that everybody's aware of has been the supply chain issue, and so we have had to recognize that and work with that, and it sounds like from your situation you just described, that's probably what happened. They had the PO, they were waiting on the equipment to get there. I'm willing to bet, without knowing the details, we were probably aware of that, and that was addressed by them as part of their plan. And so just for the record, that's how we're trying to work this. We're trying to accommodate, at the same time ensure everybody's safe, and I appreciate you bringing the comments up, and we're going to continue to do that. We still have the authority, but we shouldn't have to say that. I think everybody's aware of that. It's easier to work with them to achieve success there. At the same time, to Chairman Morgan's comments about the discussion this morning, they did, we greatly appreciate the comments and the corrections that will be made. We're going to add a little more to the strategic plan, and as I explained to them this morning, I'm trying to make the strategic plan the jumping off point for our LAR. We clearly are a small agency faced with a growing fire service across the state of Texas. We got almost everything we asked for in the last session. I hate to look greedy, but we still have a long way to go. We've learned a lot more in 2 years, and we're missing the mark. We've got some mandated functions that we're supposed to be doing. We've got the same group of 9 compliance officers doing about 3 different mandatory assignments, and we're falling short. So we are going to be asking for additional staff, and not to get down in the weeds, but we see a real need to separate compliance from investigations. As you heard Commissioner Glenn say, we have 30 open investigations today. We basically have 1 compliance officer. That's all they're doing. And there's no way for one person to keep up with that. Some of these are very serious investigations, complaints, and we're having to pull the other compliance officers in to help with that. So we will be asking for help moving forward. And this strategic plan will reflect basically the basis for those LAR requests as we move forward. Certainly open to any other comments or questions about what you may have read in the document.
Commissioner Wilson.
I just have one quick comment on page 9 of that strategic plan. I've been in Mesquite. This year will mark my 4-year anniversary. It's still showing me in Katy. So I've been gone for a while. You might have already caught it in the meeting this morning, but just a comment.
We'll fix that. There's still a lot to read over and get right. Luckily, we've got about 2 weeks to do it, but yeah, we'll catch it.
Okay.
Sir.
Commissioner Cody.
I have a question on page 19. At the top it says, TPFP's core functions are to modify and enhance the processes needed to approve certifications. This ensures our men and women have the correct and most current knowledge and skills. Who is our? Is that the commissions? Is that the Texas Fire Service?
It would be a reference to the agency. We can certainly clean that up and put TCFP in there. That was on 19?
Yes, sir. At the very top. Mm-hmm. And no, for everybody out there, we're not editors or anything like that. It's just we're simplistic firefighters.
Right. Commissioners, any other questions or comments for the Budget Strategic Planning Ad Hoc Committee? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters relating to their specific organizational purposes, functions, activities, and objectives, including reports from TEKS, the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, the Texas State Association of Firefighters, the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas, Texas Fire Marshals Association, the Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, the Center for Public Safety Excellence, the State Fire Marshal's Office, and the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. The initial report from the Firefighters Cancer Support Network will be added to the list.
Okay. First up is a report from TEKS.
Good morning, Commissioners, and Commissioner Steelman, thank you. I'm Chris Anger. I am the Acting Division Director for TEKS Emergency Services Training Institute. Currently what we've got going on, what's on everybody's lips right now is lithium-ion batteries and electric vehicles. Gordon Lohmeyer, the Division Director at TEKS ESTE, from April 29th to May the 3rd, was working with Swery Labs in San Antonio doing some testing on off-gassing of these batteries while they're going into thermal runaway, looking at what's being put into firefighter bunker gear, SCBA straps. If the vehicle's parked downwind, what might be getting into the materials in the cabs of these vehicles. And so we've done a series of tests. They had to close the lab down twice because of the violent reactions that happened with some of these smaller batteries. But we're working on getting that data back. We should have that sometime in July, and we'll publish that and make that available for the fire service at large. Had our advisory board meeting on May the 2nd, and had good representation at that meeting. Getting ready for our pre-construction meeting. We're building a 5-story burn tower out there at the fire field. If you're familiar with the layout of the field, right behind the fire station, we have a prop called 58S. We're going to replace that. We're going to put that 5-story burn tower there, and about ready to getting ready to start that project right now. Working on other infrastructure improvements out at the fire field. We've got a lot of things that we're working on. We've restructured some of our programs in numbers of personnel and how we are working our staffing out there. One of the things that we realized, we actually had one person working out on the field with 15 direct reports. And we were having a lot of complaints and things like that. So we're trying to do some things there to help benefit our culture and the way we're doing business. And so we're enhancing our staffing to do just that. Getting ready for our summer schools. Municipal school is going to be first this year, which... that's normally not the way we do business, but this year municipal school will be held July the 7th through the 12th, and our instructor meeting is normally on Saturday. What we're going to do, we're going to incorporate that and do that the same time we're doing our vendor show out at Reed Arena. That will be actually held at Reed Arena this year, our instructor meeting, and that will happen Sunday morning. One of the cool things that we've got going with this year's municipal school, we've got a couple of new offerings that Mike Wisco and a group of folks have been working on. Our advanced engine company, or advanced engine operations class, and our technical rescue challenge. This is the first year to offer those two classes, and they are full. So going to see good attendance there. Industrial school will start July the 14th and will go through the 19th. And then our Spanish school will not be doing that on site in College Station. We'll go back to Cartagena, Colombia this year. And that is scheduled for July the 29th through August the 1st in Cartagena. One of the other things I want to bring up to the board here is we are distributing emergency response guidebooks. If you have not received those for your department or your city has not received those yet, we are working with the COGS to make sure that we can get those into their possession, but we are working that at this time. And then what we have coming up, we'll be attending the TDEM and the SFFMA conferences coming up in June. And that is the end of my report. Do you have any questions?
Chris, can I ask a quick question on the DOT guidebooks? Are those available to be picked up in College Station or in San Antonio? Because I've heard both.
So what we did is Kevin Starbuck was working with the Metroplex on a number of things there. And so we shipped a shipment of 39 pallets to San Antonio where they're making arrangements for those COGS right up around the Metroplex, and it will probably involve the East Texas COG as well to get those out of San Antonio. But by and large, the majority of them are coming out of College Station.
Okay. Just want to make sure. We pick them up for our COG region at the Longview Fire Department. Just wanted to make sure they got headed in the right direction.
That's it. And I would, John Wall with TDEM will be the point of contact there,
okay.
Or Michael Green as well. And I can get you that at the end of the meeting today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions, critiques, commissioners? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
We'll move on to the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. I haven't seen anybody from the executive board in the room. I'll do a quick report out on that since I'm a regional director. Training is going extremely well. There are lots of course offerings. I know there's a Fire Chiefs Academy class presently, and there's plenty of regional deliveries of the Company Officer Symposium. The next thing to be looking for at the fire chief level would be the fire chief workshop that will happen. Doug, you got something that will happen later on this year in early December, I believe. So, Chief Point.
Sorry for my delay. I didn't realize I was
on the hook.
The guy. So our general news is we're renewing our website. We're changing from MemberClicks to a more robust platform, soliciting some input from departments across the state on a TIFMIS change on the workers' comp, where it will fall on the employer during the deployment for reimbursement. And so if you have an interest in that, go to our website to complete that survey. The education, we just completed two company officer symposiums in Galveston and Sugar Land. The next offering is in San Angelo in June and Killeen in August. There's a slight increase in cost of those to cover the runaway inflation right now. Battalion Chief Academy is in Waco, just completed in Waco. The next offering is in College Station. The Fire Chief Academy in Grapevine is already full and about to kick off in June. We have a Sean Snyder Scholarship. Sean Snyder was the Fire Chief in Edinburgh who passed from cancer, and Chief Baker from Austin proposed a Sean Snyder Scholarship, and there's five scholarships available to Chief Fire Officer the Fire Chief Academy each year. Best practice has been revamped by Paul Henley, working in conjunction with Neil Howard, and that has moved to Vector Solutions, or some people know it as Target Solutions, so it's an online application, and TML is still covering the first year for member departments that apply. And finally, membership. This year we launched a department-wide membership. Instead of you can still do individual memberships, but you can register your entire department. It includes your entire command staff. I think that is the report for Texas Fire Chiefs.
Okay, commissioners, any questions for TSCA? Doug, thanks for billing me out.
Thank you.
All right, next up is the Texas State Association of Firefighters.
No report today.
All righty, we'll move on to the State Firefighters and Fire Marshals Association of Texas.
Good morning, commissioners. Chairman Steelman, HC Chief Wisco. As you know, our June conference is coming up June 27th through the 30th in San Marcos at the Embassy Suite. We pretty much got things finalized and are really excited with the change of the format. Those of you that have come in previous years know that that conference is about six days long. It'd be at the end of 1 week and in the middle of the next week. And at the urging of our membership and at one of our conferences, it was voted to shorten that conference to like a 3.5-day conference. So we'll begin on Thursday. We'll end at noon on Sunday. We encourage you, if you've never been to one, please come. See a lot of networking going on. We're having hands-on training at this conference. Keynote speaker, we got Frank Lee from FDNY is going to be there, as well as I think Ray Cooper is going to do a presentation, as well as some other speakers. So we look forward to having you there. It's just a short drive down for you. I know 35 is not the route to go, but that's about the only route you're going to go. So we'd like to look to see you there. We've got one remaining district conference to go to. That'll be the Central Texas District, the 19th, this coming Sunday, to cover with them what we've been doing at the state level and what we're also monitoring. One of the things that we're monitoring, hopefully as you are as well, is the proposed OSHA rule, the change to 29 CFR 1910-156, which was fire brigade standard. OSHA has proposed to remove the word fire brigade and replace it with emergency response. Well, that encapsulates a lot of people. Now, a lot of people say, well, we're not an OSHA state. We're not an OSHA planned state, but we are a federal OSHA. So OSHA will sit there and say that Texas is not going to be affected and volunteers won't be covered. Well, by OSHA, that's probably true. But the people that oversee and underwrite the federally funded grants, such as AFG and SAFER, according to the National Volunteer Fire Council Board of Directors, is if you utilize those grants, first thing they want to know is what OSHA has referenced as far as the best practices. Well, that's the NFPA standards they look at. And if you're not in compliance, it's not clear whether you're going to get those grants or not. So we're still following that real close. The commentary period for that has been extended to June 21st. We are urging our people to make comments as to what the impact would be to them if we do fall under that rule. Lots of financial burden as far as staffing burden on that as well. Also, the consortium group met yesterday, well attended. I think all of us are on the same page with this upcoming legislative year that possibly, partnering together to get some things good for the fire service. I think some things that came out of the hearings at the Panhandle fires that are wanting to be looked at would be the funding of the House Bill 2604. Also kind of looking at TIFMAS, where the Volunteer Fire Service can become more involved with that, as well as maybe looking at some type of a protection, child protection bill for our volunteers, so they can actually participate and not worry about losing their jobs. So with that, I would tell you Dan Kramer, our new executive director, would be here, but dadgum, he had to go on a cruise for whatever reason. So I had to replace him. So if there's any questions, I'd be more than happy to try to answer them.
Commissioners, any questions for SFFMA?
Donnie, thank you.
Next up is the Texas Fire Marshals Association. Not seeing anybody moving. All right, we'll move on to the Texas Association of Fire Educators. Still nobody moving? Texas A&M Forest Service. Oop, got movement.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chairman Stillman, Chief Wisco, Emily Wall, Texas A&M Forest Service Chief Operating Officer for the Forest Resource Protection Division. Since the last meeting, our agency has responded to 50 fires for 2,464 acres. We currently have one fire burning in the Panhandle in Potter County, the Hackberry Canyon Fire. That one is 1,300 acres, and it's currently 90% contained. We're also assisting with DDEOC 15 in Lufkin. We begin staffing that today. We'll be assisting with the flood response. We'll also, we have crews on standby in case there's any saw crews or anything like that needed. Also, a couple things we have going on. Our EOC has been under construction for the last several months. We hope to have that completed by the end of June, and so we'll be in our new EOC. We also have the Lufkin Wildfire Academy that's taking place right now. We will also be providing a booth at the TDEM conference and six presentations that will be taking place there. And we'll also be providing a booth at the Teeks Industrial School and the Teeks Municipal School. Lastly, the report from the investigation, the committee on Panhandle, the wildfires in the Panhandle, we are reviewing that right now and hope to implement some of those changes. We'll also be using some of that to go into our LA. So, and that completes my report.
Commissioners, any questions for Texas A&M Forest Service? Emily, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is the National Fire Protection Association.
Chairman, Kelly called and asked me to deliver a couple messages for her.
Okay, sure.
So the first thing she told me, unfortunately for us, but great for her, Kelly's been promoted to the Director of Public Education for the NFPA, so she will no longer be our rep. However, her intention is to be here in August, hopefully with whoever is going to be filling her shoes as our regional rep. She did want me to share a couple of things. Their conference will be occurring in Orlando, June 17th to the 19th. May is National Electrical Safety Month. So as you can imagine, the focus is on EVs and electric storage systems and all that, lithium-ion batteries. And May 23rd, the North Texas Community Risk Reduction Summit will take place in Flower Mound. It's a free one-day seminar, and there's a registration link on the NFPA website. And the last piece is that there are new EV awareness resources available, along with a brief training online training class through their website.
Okay. Thank you for relaying that information on behalf of NFPA. Commissioners, any questions for NFPA that we can send back their way? Or for Chief Wisco? Put him on the spot. Okay, we'll move on to the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts.
Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners, Chief. Clay Avery, Executive Director of the Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, or SAFE-D for short. In the world of emergency services districts, we have a few things going on at SAFE-D. We're working on setting up our regional trainings in the fall for our ESD commissioners to get some more of their state-required training hours. We are working on putting together our legislative platform, which obviously we attended the consortium yesterday and want to be on the same page with all the other fire service agencies. We actually have been dabbling recently in the federal advocacy sphere, working on the Special Districts Grant Accessibility Act, which was authored by Congressman Fallon from North Texas, along with a Democratic counterpart from Colorado. We're very thankful for Congressman Fallon's support on that, because that act would actually define special district in federal U.S. code, which there is not currently a definition of what a special district is. The problem there is that precludes us from a lot of grant access that other entities might actually have. So hopefully we can get what a special district defined as a uniform or a defined unit of government. Otherwise, in the ESD world, my schedule is full with folks wanting to hear about creating ESDs. It's probably, in the 17 years I've been doing this, the most contact we've been getting about actually creating emergency services districts. So anyone in the audience, if you're interested in creating an ESD in your area, reach out to me now, because my schedule is pretty full up. I've been all over the state, and I have more places to go, from West Texas all the way up to Arkansas, near Arkansas, I should say. So a lot of activity there on the idea of creating ESDs. Otherwise, I am open to any of your questions.
Commissioners, any questions for safety? Seeing none, Clay, thank you. Next up is the Center for Public Safety Excellence. No movement. So we'll move on to the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Knight. I'm the State Fire Marshal. Okay. So I just wanted to remind you that we have started our Fire Marshal Discussion Group. I think the last time I was here, and I know the last time that my Assistant Fire Marshal was here, we talked about starting those. We started them a couple months ago. First one was in Beaumont. We'll continue to know. The next one is on June 18th at UT Dallas. And you can register on either our website or on the TEACS website to attend that discussion. Other dates are September 18th at Texas Tech and December 18th in FAR. Both those locations on our website. And once again, you can schedule to attend those on our website or at TEACS' website. If anyone's interested, we plan to continue these for next year. We'll do this every quarter next year. If anyone's interested in hosting us, please let me know or let Chief Allen know, and we'll get you on our list, and we would appreciate being hosted. We are hosting the Community Risk Reduction Data Analysis Training in August. It's a pretty small group because it actually goes through and looks at the, pulls the data from our system to review and do. Once the community leaves, they will have that analysis done. We are looking at adopting, right now we have adopted NFPA 2021 NFPA 1 and 101, so we're looking at the 2024 and doing the analysis to start the adoption of that. If anyone's hosting a conference or a meeting and would like for a representative from the State Fire Marshal's office to attend, please let us know. We'll get on our calendar and get someone to attend, either myself, the Assistant State Fire Marshal, or depending on what the conference and what the need is, someone else from our department. I'd like to recognize that one of our own, Lieutenant Tommy Hubertus, was awarded the North American Police Working Dog Association Canine Trainer of the Year last week at the National Conference in Florida. Next year, he'll test for his master training certificate, and I have great faith that he will receive that. That will then give the State Fire Marshal's two master accelerant detection trainers in the State Fire Marshal's office. So subject to your questions, that's the end of my presentation.
Commissioners, any questions for the State Fire Marshal's office?
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Okay, next up is the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Glenn.
Without seeing anyone from the foundation here, I just want to let you know we were in attendance, some of the members from the Fort Worth Fire Department, Honor Guard, and Local 440 were in attendance, and there was 226 firefighters' names added to the wall there in Emmitsburg. I wasn't prepared to give you a number. There were a number of firefighters from Texas that were honored. We had three from Fort Worth that went on the wall. I know we had one from Lancaster, whose father was a Mansfield firefighter. But it was held. It rained on Friday. It rained on Saturday. And it rained on Sunday. So they were gracious enough to have the university there in Emmitsburg hosted it there in the PNC Sports Arena, so they had a default, and plan B was to move it indoors for the candlelight vigil on Saturday night and then the memorial service on Sunday morning. That was live streamed to many different countries, but it was good turnout for both events.
All right, thank you for that report. And lastly, we will hear from Firefighter Cancer Support Network, Curtis Dunn.
Thank you, sir, and thank the commission for hearing this. Michael, just to add to what Michael had to say, Brandon Peterson was one of the first Texas firefighters added to the wall in Emmitsburg because his cancer was approved by the state. You have to, according to what I understand, you have to be deemed a workers' comp death, and we fought, and his father fought very hard for almost 2 years to get his name added to the wall in Maryland. So my name is Curtis Dunn. I'm retired out of Arlington, Texas. I'm the vice president and state director for the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. What we offer to firefighters with cancer, just briefly, is we get a toolbox sent to them. In this toolbox is a survivor's guide, some things that help our firefighters get through their diagnosis, as well as a mentor program. We have 210 mentors that have had cancer survive and help these firefighters get through their diagnosis. The new white paper came out at FDIC. They're already gone. We've ordered 600 more copies, and I'd be more than happy to get those out to anybody that needs it. Get you a handful of copies for the commission. So it's another great thing that the guys have done with the network. We have given out 32 toolboxes in the last 6 months in Texas. which means that's only probably half of the people that have cancer that have reached out to us. That many more probably don't. So if you have a diagnosis for the chief, if you have a diagnosis in your fire department, please reach out, either online or by getting a hold of me. Right now we're starting in the state of Texas free skin cancer screenings. They're starting on the 20th of May in Austin, and we're going to try to get it around the state. So I'll be contacting some chiefs, or contact me if you're interested in getting your department free skin cancer screenings. We have a grant in right now that if we get that grant, we should receive enough of the grant to get the state of Texas covered for anybody that wants a skin cancer screening. We did 300 at FDIC and had 30 diagnoses of some type of cancer through these screenings. Lastly, the program that is required by the commission is still being taught. We have to the end of 24 to get everybody trained. If you have any questions or you guys haven't got it done yet, we just did Chief Wilson's whole department in face-to-face training, which we offer. So, questions? Mike?
Brother Don, so it's December 1st, 2024 is when the mandatory training is due for all certified fire personnel. What is the best way, because I've had several calls from departments, for people to get that? I know there's face-to-face, but can you update on some of the ways that departments can get that? We have a lot of chiefs in there, so just so everybody knows, it is December the 1st, 2024.
You bet. Thank you. As we did in Mesquite, we did a face-to-face training. We did all the department. We did it in 5 days, I believe, Chief.
No more than five.
So we come in, we can do it face-to-face. Bigger departments, there's no way that we can come into a San Antonio, Fort Worth, and Austin and do training that way. So we recommend going to the FCSN website and click on the training drop-down, follow that. It'll put you into this class. You sign in. There's a 5-module class that you can do, and it will... Then when you're finished, it will kick a certificate back to you via email. If the whole department does it that way, then we would want someone to contact myself. We can file the whole department and have one email sent back with all the certificates in that email, so everybody gets their certificate. Again, Arlington just did set it up on their Target Solutions, and they're just about done with there. So if you have Target Solutions, you can set it up through that, where every member of the department has to sign in, log in, and then get the training done that way. Again, we don't mind. It's a free offer. We offer this to any department that wants the training. We come out, we train, and we leave. We get the names and certificates are sent then a week later.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions?
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll move on to aisle number 6.
Report from Commission Representative to the Homeland Security Council.
I have nothing to report. I was unable to make the meeting that was held yesterday. I don't know if anybody else is there.
We tried. Staff was tied up, and I think Commissioner Stillman was going to try. I don't think it worked out for us.
No. Okay. We'll move on to aisle number 7.
Subjects for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners, does anyone have anything they'd like to see added to a future meeting agenda?
I do. I won't be here for it. But that being said, Ed, to replace me is the... What is my official title? Is the Assistant Presiding Officer for the Commission?
I'm not really sure what your official title is. Let's make one up real quick.
I just looked at it.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Then let's call it that. Okay.
Just to replace that, since I won't be here.
All right. Any other items, commissioners? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 9. I'm sorry, item number 8.
Discussion on future meeting dates.
So commissioners, these dates are already set for the remainder of the year. And just to reconfirm, it looks like our next meeting here will be a workshop on August the 14th to start at 1:30, I believe. And then the day after, the 15th of August, we will have our regular quarterly commission meeting at 9 a.m. And then the meeting beyond that is November the 2nd, and it is a 10 a.m. quarterly meeting.
November 21st.
Oh, okay, my lines ran together. You are right. Thank you for that clarification. It is November 21st. All right. Everybody heard that, November 21st. If you show up on the 2nd, you'll be the only one here. Okay, any other questions about that? All right, we'll move on to aisle number 9.
Report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but there's nothing to report. Their next meeting will be in June, so probably anticipate a lengthy report in August.
Okay, Mr. Jones.
Chief Wisco, with that, is that on that agenda for them? Is that going to have the, for them to address the, what TDM brought us?
Yeah, the emergency management, they'll start looking at it at their next meeting. They haven't had a meeting since that got handed out.
Yes, right, yeah. And just since I won't be here, just kind of wanted to give everybody my thoughts of where I was going with that, is just trying to follow the process of that, since it's going to be such a, it's the first time that certification's been around, and we're kind of breaking ground on it. And so my thoughts of the process I was going to try to take it through with you guys' guidance and approval was, like we normally do, test curriculum ad hoc committee, then the firefighter advisory and so on, just how we follow all the same process, just so it can be vetted by all levels, like all other ones, just to make sure that it gets done right, because I do think it's an important certification. So just since I won't be here to see that process through, that's where I was going. Doesn't mean you guys have to follow that process, but that was just my idea of where, if I was here, I was going to go through with it.
You sure put a lot of work on this, and you're not going to be here.
Oh, I'm not, I haven't got to Rick yet. All right. I got some stuff to do.
Okay, any other discussion on aisle number 9, commissioners? Okay, we'll move on to aisle number 10.
Discussion and possible action on proposed 37 TAC Chapter 467 Fire Marshal.
Chairman and commissioners, if you'll remember, in February, staff asked to withdraw this from that agenda. There were some grammatical changes that needed to be made, and also a few references within the rule. Those have all been cleaned up, and it's in front of you today as a proposed change.
Okay. Commissioners, you have that language in front of you. Is there any discussion or comment? If not,
move for adoption.
I have a motion by Commissioner Glenn.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? That motion carries. All right, move on to aisle number 11.
Discussion and possible action on proposed 37 TAC Chapter 469 technical rescue.
Chairman and commissioners, this is the new tech rescue voluntary cert. This is the first time you're seeing it. You'll remember there's been quite a bit of discussion and input from the fire service. They wanted to see this delayed a little bit with a rollout in October so that they would have time to budget for it, because a lot of departments seem interested in making it a requirement. So to keep with that time frame, it's in front of you today as a proposal, first time seeing it. There's been a lot of work done by three separate ad hoc committees, and this is the first draft of that for you to see.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Jones.
So, Chief Wisco, help refresh me on this, because I do remember this has only been seen by ad hoc. Has it gone through testing curriculum? Has it gone through firefighter advisory?
Well, the testing and curriculum, they assigned to ad hoc. So, yeah, they've been involved in the process.
Okay,
but
so,
it has to come to you guys first.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I do think there's a high demand for this, and it's a very sought after. I think it's going to be a sought after certification, but again, like everything, I like to see it get right. So if testing curriculum's seen it, then I would like to follow that process and push this to the firefighter advisory, just to follow the process we've done in the past to look at it and give people more time to weigh in, and then bring it back just so we send it through all of our channels. So I would make a motion that we send this to firefighter advisory for further review.
Okay, commissioners, there's a motion on the floor to send this to advisory for their review. Any other discussion? I have a second by Commissioner Vandegrift. Any other discussion?
Question.
Chief Wisco.
While we're waiting for their June meeting, do you want it put for publication so we can start receiving public comment?
I'll make my motion for that to edit for publication.
Okay, so we have an amended motion to push it to publication and to the Firefighter Advisory Committee by Commissioner Jones. That was seconded by Commissioner Coatney, I believe, first. Am I caught up? Is there any other discussion on that? If not, everyone in favor signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion passes. Move on to item number 12.
Discussion and possible action regarding reciprocity with State Firemen's Fire Marshal Association certifications.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, since February when this was put forward, we've actually had quite a bit of conversation. There's officially been three meetings, including one last night where some of our staff met with the SFFMA certification board. The discussions seem to be going well right now. I think there is a path forward to work through this. I feel comfortable in making a couple of statements. One, I think we will be to the point where by January of 25, we'll be able to proceed forward with this. That being said, I anticipate some documentation coming to you most likely at the August meeting for your review. At this point, and it's still kind of early, but after the review that's happened and the discussion, probably won't be a need for any rule changes. But there could be, and I would go out on a limb now and say staff's going to recommend probably an MOU between us and SFFMA just to solidify this, no different than what we did with Teeks on the Pro Board recognition and things like that. It would just be a document that clarifies it so that as we all move forward and other folks fall into our seats, it's very clear what the agreement was. But right now it looks like this is going to be something relatively, easy to move forward with, but there is some more work required with it at this point.
Okay. Commissioners, any other questions or discussion or any other information you need from staff?
Okay. I don't know if Donnie has anything to add to it or anybody else from SFFMA, but since we have them here, I'll give them a chance to speak on it.
Commissioners, thank you, Chief Wisco, for bringing that up. You know, the one thing that maybe a lot of us, not just in volunteer fire service, but also career, you know, is having some issues as far as getting qualified people, us as far as recruitment and retention. I will tell you this, there's a lot of individuals in the volunteer fire service that desire to be career firefighters. But they can't take off and go to a traditional academy. They're working their regular jobs, they're taking care of their families. And so through the SFMA route, they can go ahead and get all the way through Firefighter 2, including their hazmat A&O. I've also talked to a lot of career fire chiefs where they're having difficulty getting certified people. So now they're hiring off the street. They're paying for uniforms. They're paying for their training. They're paying for gear with no guarantee they'll finish the academy or can pass that academy. Through the SFMA route, our people have got their Firefighter 2 certification. They've proven they meet the same exact NFPA standard, JPRs, and objectives. We just see this as a win-win situation for both the SFMA and also the TCFP as far as having certified personnel that want to go into that career route, but they still got to take care of their families, and they can't take off 3 months to go to an academy. So certainly thank y'all for y'all's consideration. Any questions?
Commissioners, any questions? Thank you. Okay, any other comments on item 12? Okay, we'll look forward to that information possibly in August. We'll move on to item 13.
Report from Ad Hoc Subcommittee regarding selection and appointment of candidates for current vacancies on health and wellness, curriculum and testing, and firefighter advisory subcommittees.
Mr. Cousins. Mr. Chairman, Chief Wisco, we had a subcommittee formed after the last meeting. I was selected as chair. Commissioner Johnson, Commissioner Glenn, Commissioner Wilson, and Commissioner Smith were also a part of that. And we worked collaboratively together to redefine what the expectations were and redefine the job descriptions for all the committee members. So in this first memo you'll see here, this is just from Chief Wisco. He outlines basically what the process is going to be. We go down a little bit further, whoever's controlling this. Next page. A little bit more. Next page. All right. So how about I just tell you what I'm going to tell you, and hopefully you'll find it here. So basically, just we were tasked with rewriting these, recrafting these, and also making a web-based online application. We went through that. We redefined each of the position classifications and job descriptions for the members of the three committees, the Health and Safety Committee, the Curriculum and Testing Committee, and also the Firefighter Advisory Committee. As we did this, we also delineated a timeline for when we open the application period. It will be open for 30 days. The same committee will be tasked with vetting these out. If there's a single position that's advertised, we will go through the list of applications received. We'll identify the top five. We'll bring that to the commission for their vote. Every subsequent position that's vacant on that committee, we'll pull two people for that. And again, the commission will look at that, and we'll go through those. We have a seven-day period to go through those and make a recommendation back to the TCFP chief, and then he'll bring that forward to the chair. As we go further down to page 65, there we go. This gives you a list of the committee members, and so you can see each of the positions are defined by who sits in those right now, and we'll continue to scroll. It's the Curriculum and Testing Committee. The next committee on there is the Firefighter Advisory Committee. And then the last one is the Health and Wellness Committee. You can see that the Health and Wellness Committee has a number of vacancies on it. There's five current vacancies on this. And we're going to have to fill those. So what we've elected to do is when we're ready to advertise these positions, we'll be advertising first for the Health and Safety Committee to be filled. We need to get that filled. That committee also needs to select a chairperson so they can move forward with actionable items on that committee. Following that, we will move to the Curriculum and Testing Committee, and following that, the Firefighter Advisory Committee. The reason we're taking these in order, Mr. Chairman, is because we want to make sure the process works effectively, and we don't want to overwhelm the new process, especially when you get into the web-based application point. Before we do that, I need to thank Commissioner Johnson for his expertise in helping to build this platform through Muhammad Adams and the IT folks from TCFP. When you see it, you're going to be very impressed by the work that they did and the ease of the application process for people to get into this narrative. So we'll just go ahead and move forward to talk about that. Commissioner Johnson, would you like to provide an overview of that?
Sure. If we could move to the, well, let's see. I'll go over the overview, and then we can go into the slides just so I can go over those quickly. Now, this was set up. It's a web-based application. It'll be set up to where anyone interested could go into the website, choose what they want to apply for, click on the application. It'll go over the details and qualifications on what they need to do to be qualified for that position. And the application, what we wanted was something that was very streamlined, where they can go in and quickly put in applications, not asking too much, and you'll see the application shortly. We want to make sure that it was something that once it's sent to the office, that it can be printed out in a PDF format so we can then look at all the different applications and compile information and even save applications for later opening. So basically, with the help of Mo Adams from IT, we put together a framework. Mo put it together, and it came out really nice. So what we're going to do is we reviewed it, we confirmed the acceptance, we have all the different agencies putting together where they put in their descriptions of the positions. We discussed it, had several meetings about it. The chief was involved in that heavily in all those meetings, and thanks for that, chief. That was good having you on the line with Mo, me, and the commissioners who was involved with it. Appreciate that.
I was not the smartest one on that phone call. I'll just say that.
And you would see the overview. You have the committee overview for the health and wellness on page 68. You'll see that, and it goes over the overview of what's needed for that position. It goes over the position description. And then, and that goes on to page 69 and continuance. And then you'll see the Curriculum and Testing Committee overview on page 70. And that goes over the description and the minimum requirements. And we want to make sure when people read this that they read carefully and they see that these requirements, they see them posted, they sure that they meet these requirements before they apply. And that goes on to page 70. And then you have the committee overview for the Firefighters Advisory Committee. That's on page 72. And that goes on the same thing. If you notice, everything is the same. We want to make sure that it's pretty much uniformed on each position so that way it doesn't look confusing. So you're going to see the committee overview, and then you're going to see the position description, and then you'll see the minimum requirements. And that's for each position. And then on page 74 is where we get into the web page. What we're going to do is, there we go. And then on page 75, you'll see the home page. So on the page, you'll initially see that it's starting off on the About Us page. Now, applicants, they can find an open committee position by clicking on the About Us page, then click Commissioners and Committees. Then within that drop-down menu, a new link titled Apply to Open Committee Position. So if y'all know anyone who wants to apply, you can send them to this page, and then we'll have these instructions. It'll take them right to it. So once they go in that drop-down menu where you see the Apply to Open Committee Position, this is going to open up a new page featuring all the open committee positions. And then you'll see that on the next page, 76. Right now we have the Health and Wellness Committee at the top, because that's the one that we're really going to concentrate on first, initially, to get people in that committee. And then you see the Curriculum and Testing Committee. And what you're seeing right now is not necessarily what you're going to see when it's live, because since we're concentrating on the Health and Wellness Committee, you're probably just going to see that posting on there originally. And then, ultimately, you're going to see the Curriculum and Testing Committee and the Firefighter Advisory Committee, too. And it's just as simple as, if you see the Apply button on the right of that web page, it's as simple as clicking that Apply button, and then when that you click that, it's going to open up the open committee positions, the descriptions, the same thing that I showed y'all in that PDF. You're going to see the overview, the responsibilities. We took that information from that Word document and put it into this web page. So you're going to see the responsibilities, and then you're going to also see the description. And then on page 78, you will see the guidelines of filling out the application. It's just simple guidelines on basically fill in all the required information. And so it's not getting too complicated on that. And then you're going to have a tab for application. When you click that application, that's going to open up the application. And then on page 79, you'll see the first page of the application. And then once you finish that page, you just click Next, and that'll go on to the next page. And that'll have that information. The first page is basically name, address, that information. And then you'll have on the second button, you'll have business organization. So whatever agency you're with, you'll place that in there. Phone number, the state, the city, all that stuff. Current position and title, that'll go in there. And then when you click Next, and at the end of this, y'all are going to see a simple form. It's just going to be a simple web form that's going to be all that information generated into one form. So once you're done, once the applicant is done, if they didn't complete the answer, it won't let them move to the next page. So it'll be a little window, a little thing pop up and say, you didn't put your last name. So it'll make sure before you go on, you completed everything. And once you hit submit, email is going to shoot to the chief.
Yep.
You're going to go to his desk, and he'll be able to get those applications and review. We'll be able to get them, compile them together, review them together. And the applicant is going to receive an email saying, thank you for applying. So they'll get confirmation that they applied. And here on page 83 is what the applicant will see. they'll get this confirmation, and we'll get this too. They can print this out in a PDF just to show that they applied. And this is what Chief is going to get. So it's just all those questions that we asked is all on one page. And if you see, it's really a short application. It's a real short application, but it gets all the information that we need. One thing here, we do ask them briefly explain why you are the right fit for this committee role. That gives them a chance to put in their certifications, their experience, all that stuff, the pertinent information that would make us look and say, hey, this is a good candidate for the position. And that's it.
Thank
Any
you,
questions on that?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Commissioner Johnson. So, Chief Wisco and Chairman, there's a little bit of nuances you'll notice as the applicants go through there. While some have minimum requirements, others are identified as preferred requirements. The reason for the nuance in the language, the structure of all three of the committee position descriptions is similar. The nuances are related to the way we received the information from the existing committees. They sent us the position descriptions. We tried to keep the language as true as possible, but for example, the health and wellness is the best example of the changes we made. We made it more of a generic application for the health and wellness. The copy we got was very directive. It was looking for people who had specific backgrounds in counseling, so they were trying to bring in PhDs and MDs into the group. And so we made that more generic to other people who are interested in participating on that board. And if we choose, or if that particular committee chooses that they need to bring in counselors or MDs to serve as subject matter experts in areas, they can go ahead and identify more of a specific application process, and we can also send that out looking for this. So the three that are up there for the generic positions to fulfill the roles of the advisory committee, non-specialized, all basically general position descriptions. And does anybody have any questions about this?
Commissioners, any questions?
Well, I have a question.
Commissioner Morgan.
When are we going to get to open up the applications? Is that as soon as possible?
Probably a couple of years from now. No. our hope is based on how this discussion goes here this morning. We will turn all this on, if not this afternoon, first thing in the morning. It's ready to go. And if I could add where Commissioner Johnson said it would be sent to me, there'll be an email come to me that we have an application in the system. That email will go to me and one other staff member so that it's duplicate. We will go through the process of vetting those, making sure they checked all the boxes, making sure everything's right. We'll put them in a folder. At the end of the application period, we will send that to Commissioner Coney as the chair of the subcommittee, and so they can proceed with the selection process.
Is there any kind of notification?
At the same time that we go live with it, we're going to put out a notice both on the website, probably an email announcement like we try to do when we have important stuff. And we'll put something out on Facebook letting everybody know that it's open and available.
Thank you.
Good question.
Any other? Commissioner Hammer.
The work that's been done is tremendously better than what we've had in the past, and I think it'll be extremely smooth and help out all the way around.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Commissioner Jones.
Yeah, great job on that. I mean, I know this has been something we've been dealing with, and great job to all the committee members that got together and came up with this and with a good process going forward. And so. Great job.
I only have one other recommendation. Every committee or every ad hoc committee we sit from this day forward, I believe that Commissioner Johnson needs to be a member of it. And we need to pull in Mo to assist him.
I would tend to agree with that.
That's what happens when we put a job well done.
Certainly hit the ground running.
When you do a good job, you get more.
That's right. Commissioners, any other questions or comments? I would like to kind of add that I appreciate the work that the committee put into this. I know we've been working on this for a couple of years now, it seems like, and this is our last big sunset item to address, I believe, in this sunset window that we're in. I know you guys have put a ton of work into this. I appreciate all the discussion. To me, just looking at this on the surface, it doesn't get any more transparent than that, and I think that was the biggest issue that we had with our sunset recommendation, was making sure that everybody understood how these processes work, and then I think we've hopefully arrived at that. And that seems like it's going to be, we're going to have to implement it to see where the bugs are potentially, sure. But I think we've got a great platform to start with, so I'm excited about that after all this time and all the discussion we've had in previous meetings. So thanks to the committee for their hard work on this.
Just so you all know, I've already started, but nowhere close to completing my email to Sunset to let them know that we have accomplished this recommendation.
Yeah.
I'll have that out to them by next week.
So is there anything else we need to do on this item? It sounds like, is the commissioners in consensus that we're ready to take this for the test drive? Everybody's content with the process that's been laid out, and looks to me like it's cars full of gas and the keys are in the ignition. Let's go.
I would, and Frank may add to this, probably just make it official, maybe a vote.
So move.
Everybody's
second.
Good to go. Okay.
Have a motion by Commissioner Hamilton.
Second.
I'm sorry. Second by Commissioner Jones. Commissioner Wilson, did you have a question or were you trying to vote?
I was second.
All right. So a motion by Commissioner Hamilton, second by Commissioner Jones. Is there any other discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. Okay, before we move on to item 14, we need to circle back to item 8 because I think there's a potential conflict or something we need to discuss on meeting dates.
Commissioners, as you all were having that discussion, I got some information that the August 14 and 15 meetings are right in the middle of the IHE's conference that will be here in Dallas this year, so that could have an impact on everyone's ability to attend. I didn't know if you all wanted to discuss that, move it around, or what we wanted to do there.
Commissioners, does anybody perceive that as a conflict? Or anybody?
I'm good with it.
I mean, I'd like to go to fire rescue, but you know, it's all right. I'll be where I need to be.
So
we probably have a little bit of flexibility, and I'd say it's up to you guys. We don't share this room with anybody else, so we certainly move the meeting as you see fit. But I didn't want to get too far past that without bringing that up. It was brought to me while you all were having that discussion, and I didn't get to chime in fast enough.
I mean, it's in Texas this year, so that's kind of what makes it easy.
Okay, so I'll throw a suggestion out there. If we're interested in possibly moving it, how would the August the 28th and 29th work?
Can't do it. The IFF convention.
Yeah, and that's the thing we start getting into when we start playing with these dates is there's always something, it seems like. So that's the hard part about doing this.
Yeah.
But no, I knew as soon as I said that, I knew there was going to be something.
What's on 21, 22?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Right now, there's no conflicts with the room. Just a personal conflict. 22nd. I'm going to file a suit with the SFFMA director, and I'll be on a cruise in Alaska. But there's certainly plenty of smart people here to fill in for me, so I'd build it around me. The room would be available.
Then I just suggest we leave it as is.
It was a shot across the room.
So, suggestion of Commissioner Coatney, we just leave it as is for now and make do. Anybody have any heartburn over that? Okay.
That makes me nervous. Y'all are going to want to talk about me at that meeting. But anyway.
It's your evaluation.
Okay. We'll jump back to item 14.
Discussion regarding the rule review process procedure and scheduling for future commission meeting agendas.
Commissioners, this agenda item is simply just to kind of talk about the rule review process and where we're at, where we're embarking from today. As you may remember, we're required by law to review all of our rules on a four-year cycle. We accomplished that. We had to catch up, so you were looking at three, sometimes four at a meeting and kicking them to the other committees. We're all caught up now, and the staff perspective is we want to get started on that again so that we don't get behind. One thing you'll see today, there were one or two agenda items that we were asked to put on this agenda. We went ahead and listed those as rule reviews so that we can meet the rule review requirement, and any discussion or potential changes out of that would just be part of that rule review. So I guess what I'm asking is that okay as we continue forward? We have a schedule that we're going to try to follow. We're going to try to put one to two on each agenda. However, if there are items requested to be on the next agenda, we'll list those as the rule review to keep it at a manageable level, but we're still able to accomplish the four-year cycle.
Commissioners, any thoughts or comments? To me, it makes sense. It's a methodical way of working through that looming issue and making sure that we review them all in a timely period. So to me, it just works smarter, not harder, right? It makes sense. But
Any other discussion on that item?
We fixed the committees. I'll say we put Inspector back on there. Let's look at that again.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. No other discussion on that. We will move to item 15.
Discussion and possible action regarding rule review of 37 TAC, Chapter 449.
Commissioners, this was a, we had a request to put this rule on for some discussion today, so again, we just went ahead and listed it as a rule review. Kill two birds with one stone, if you will. I believe the request was from Commissioner Steelman, so I turn it to you, head of department.
So the one thing that has come out of the regional meetings, thank you for reminding me all of a sudden there, is there a possible way, I know we have several people in the audience that are here meeting their head of department requirement to attend a commission meeting or a firefighter advisory meeting, and the question that came out of a meeting in my region for TFCA, which the commission was present, is could we also add the regional meeting, since it seems like that's a solid platform of how the commission is making its way across the state into certain areas to, you know, certainly it's going to shorten travel distances for people out in the Panhandle or El Paso if they can attend that regional meeting and get the same credit by attending that meeting that they would get by sitting in this room in Austin. And really that whole process, in my opinion, is part of that getting that credential is to gain that level of familiarity with the commission itself. And what better way to do it than at the regional level when you're meeting with your regional people who you're going to be dealing with if you have a commission question or an issue. So that's just a thought of opening that up as a possible option for people to not necessarily have to drive from one side of the state to the other to sit in this room to attend a meeting to get credit as part of that process. And I'm happy to put that out there for some other discussion if you'd like. But that seems like that's a pretty solid platform now. I know it's kind of still new under Chief Wisco's administration of getting out of Austin and going out across the state, and I've heard nothing but super positive feedback on the fact of how this agency operates in that fashion now. So I don't see us changing that, at least I hope, in the near future. So I think that's going to be a solid move. But anyway.
From a staff perspective, we've kicked around. We're seeing great attendance at all these meetings. We had two this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. We had anywhere between 40 and over 60 people at those meetings. We don't have any heartburn or concern with it, but certainly open for discussion. There might be somebody in the audience that wants to speak to it.
So happy to hear and have feedback on that. Where this would go actually is on page 89 in your notebook, where it talks about the minimum standards for head of department, and it's as simple as adding there an item number 4 under 449.3, just adding the regional meeting in there as one of those other two options listed with a commission meeting or a regularly scheduled firefighter advisory committee meeting. So within the first year of appointment.
Question.
Commissioner Wilson.
That would be in lieu of then. Did I understand that right? It wouldn't be in addition to.
No, in lieu of, it's just one of three options to meet that requirement the way that I understand it. You don't necessarily have to come to a commission meeting. You can go to an advisory meeting and check that box. So it's just giving you a third option, potentially closer to home, to be able to satisfy that requirement. I explained that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Will that be a continuation of their CEs? Boutiques be attending that, so we would have a record of that attendance at that regional meeting?
Sure. Teaks attends now because they handle the CE part for us and the registration. But at the same time, the regional compliance officer attends whatever meetings are in their region. So just like we're doing today where there's another book to fill out so we document it, we would follow that same.
As long as they get credit for it.
Sure, yeah.
But they still got to come here for a firefighter advisory meeting.
Well, again, I think the proposed idea is you're giving them another option. They don't have to do all of them. They just have to do one.
Okay, even better.
And it's basically by design as a new fire chief in Texas, and I think it was primarily put in place initially for people coming in from out of state that haven't historically operated under a governing body like the Texas Commission on Fire Protection, to at least get that ground floor fundamental knowledge about how things work in the state of Texas. So, and again, there's no better way than to build those face-to-face relationships with the people that you're going to have a phone number for if you have an issue or have a question about.
Chairman, I think if you were looking at the crowd earlier when you were talking, by the people in the room shaking their head in the affirmative. I think you've got support of that because it makes sense budget-wise, and as busy as we are now, and a new chief and trying to get their feet on the ground, to leave a small department and come to Austin sometimes is very challenging. So I 100% agree with that idea.
Chief Boker. I saw you looking in the room. Doug Boker with Sugar Land. I can tell you last year I attended three or four of the regional meetings. I've attended a few very recently. The information is very different than this commission meeting. But as a new fire chief, I believe that those regional meetings might be of higher value to a new fire officer in knowing their region, their compliance officer, and it's a much closer network where they can get FaceTime with the agency director, with the compliance people, the certifications people, and so that probably is, and when you look at all practicality, I see value in attending both, but as a new chief trying to hit the ground running, that's probably of higher value to that chief.
Well, and to add on to that, if you don't mind, you're also going to build some FaceTime with other fire chiefs around you so you know what your support network looks like.
Absolutely.
That's a win, too. Thank you for that.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Glenn.
I like the idea. I'm not opposed to it. I would offer up that if we're going to move forward with that, just to be looking at page 92, 449.203. I think we've got the same language for... I think that's for a prevention-only fire department.
Sure.
But it'd be the same.
I agree. For consistency, yes.
Yep.
Thank you for that.
I've been to several of the regional meetings in the DFW Metroplex, and I think Chief Wisco and his staff do a great job explaining. He brings a person from each division within the commission, and I agree that I think it's a good fit for that, and I think there's a lot of information there. And you're right, several years ago, that's exactly the reason why it's from out of state, more for out of state chiefs coming in to understand what the commission's about and the tool that it is. So I could support.
Well, and it's not, I love the fact that our room's full and we're bringing extra chairs in, but again, it's a convenience thing. Texas is a big place, and if you live out in some remote place, and like I said, in Panhandle or out in the El Paso area, it's a haul to get here. I know Commissioner Hamilton will give me an amen on that. It's not easy to get here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. But so anyway, any other questions or comments? Commissioner DeVille.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
In this modern day, as much as I hate Zoom meetings, could we make that an option in the way that they would register for a Zoom meeting and do this meeting via Zoom so they don't have the travel time? Well, so we can still verify that they're on the loop.
If I can't speak to that, our hope is the state law does allow for that. It has quite a few in-depth requirements that today we don't meet. But with getting into this room and after we get some work done in this room, our goal is to get there.
Okay.
It may take some more money, and it may take about another year, but we're probably a year away from being able to, I would say, broadcast these meetings
okay. And
have two-way dialogue on them.
Okay.
But there are a lot of things that we still have to do, including purchasing equipment and getting it installed here before we can meet the law.
Okay.
But that certainly is an option moving forward, and it's a goal of staff to get to that point. And that would benefit the commissioners as well as the fire service. That two-way dialogue during those meetings would allow that.
Okay.
You could be on your cruise and zoom into the meeting.
Good.
Commissioner Glenn.
Good.
I'll get a good signal.
Maybe.
Commissioner Glenn, do you have a question?
I appreciate that idea. I would disagree, though, because for the purpose of this rule, we're not talking about, I'm not opposed to people, I like the idea of people being able to log in and see what we're doing and having that two-way dialogue for the exact reasons that we've been discussing, the benefits of those regional meetings, maybe better than, I appreciate what Doug was saying, that maybe better than even coming to this meeting, the regional meetings. We've had great success with those regional meetings. When you do Zoom, you lose the ability to look at someone in the audience, or you lose the ability to at a coffee break, at a restroom break.
Absolutely.
So I think that would, I think for the purpose of what we're talking about here, I think that would negate the need.
There'd be a dog barking in the background of the meeting.
Yeah.
And I agree with Commissioner Glenn, and there would be no way how will we know besides them just signing in and just walking away that they actually attended and got what they
because they're going to have their face on that screen, and you're going to be able to see if they get up and leave the room. Because I've done Zoom meetings that way.
I would like to just add that I'm agreeing with what you're saying. That's a good idea.
I've driven to El Paso, folks. It's a long way out there,
but
you know.
Just knowing that you would have all of Texas and anybody, you know, could get into it, that would definitely elongate meetings because you would have a lot of people with different inputs and different questions. So I would rather it be here. Because, I mean, I've been in Zoom meetings where everybody chimed in and you can't get out of it.
There's an entertainment factor to Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
Let you see some things you might not want to see, too.
Back to Wisco getting on his cruise.
All right, commissioners, any other questions, comments on item number 18?
Mr. Chairman, I guess we will go in and do some proposed language and have that back here at the August meeting to continue the rural review piece, but solidify the new language.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that? All right. We will move on to item 16.
Discussion and possible action regarding rural review of 37 TAC, Chapter 401.
So, commissioners, again, this is a rural review. I will point out that it was just the first on the list by the number assigned to it. It was just recently reviewed, so we're kind of starting over at the end. But again, it's back to the process of being able to check the box and conduct a review. We are not aware of any issues with this particular rule, and in fact, I believe it was at the October meeting last year that it was adopted as presented. So just a systematical step at this point, unless there's any conversation or suggestions.
Okay. Commissioners, any questions, comments, or concerns with item 16, Chapter 401?
I move for approval.
Okay, have a motion by Commissioner Glenn.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Coatney. Is there any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 17.
Discussion regarding the 2023 injury report.
I was talking. Did you already read the agenda?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Before Grace gets started, I just a couple things I need to say. One, once again, kudos to Grace for all her work and putting this together. What you're seeing is the first draft. As she will explain as we move through here, there's still data coming in and we're still inserting that where we need to. Staff has conducted the first review of the first draft. There are a couple of things that we want to change early on in the executive summary just to clarify a few things and without getting too deep in the weeds, where the executive summary tells you there are 808 regulated departments, that's strictly fire departments. In our system, in whole, we have over 1,700 entities identified in our system. 825 of those are fire departments, 475 are training facilities. The caveat to the training facility is that some of those are duplicates. Some of those are fire departments who are also identified as training facilities. In our world, in the commission world, that's two separate inspections. However, there could be some duplication. So when you break that down, there's a total of 1,300 currently regulated entities in our system, and there are an additional 953 who, for whatever reason, are no longer active or they're no longer regulated by us. And just a quick summarization of that, maybe it was a volunteer organization that at one time believed they wanted to be regulated. It's a voluntary move. Once they had that first compliance visit, they said, hey, we're out. They're still in our system. So yes, there's a total number of 1,778, but in reality, there's only about 1,300. So our goal is in the second draft of this, you will see a chart, if you will, kind of simply clarifying those numbers and making that explanation like I just presented to you. Other than that, you may see a few other graphs change or move around. We don't see any big impact to the overall numbers and percentages assigned. But again, this is the first draft, and and Grace is going to walk through it, and it's open for any recommendation or changes before the second draft.
Okay, Grace.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Grace Wilson. I'm the Public Information Officer here at the Commission, and one of my duties is to manage the injury reporting program. So just first of all, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that there's no action needed today. We're just going to be reviewing this first draft. At the next meeting, though, the goal is ultimately that y'all will give your official recommendations for the fire service. So just keep that in mind based on the data that we provide for you. And let's see. I just want to mention also for those that are listening that when the only time you actually are required to report an injury is when you also report an injury to the workers' compensation. So just keep that in mind as we're going through the report. You know, if it seems like there aren't enough injuries reported in one section because of how many firefighters there are or something like that, just keep in mind that technically, you know, they might not be able or be required to report them, and so that's kind of difficult to manage, especially when we're talking about, like, how many departments have reported to us versus some that didn't. We don't always have the authority to say you must report, you know, everything to us, so just to keep that in mind.
Grace, can I offer just a quick point of clarification on that? Because
yes,
I know,
sir.
This has been a question in my area. So what you said about any time you report something to work comp, that's any time. Because in work comp, there's a reporting purposes only for little minor things that, hey, I need to report that, but I didn't have to go for treatment or anything like that. But even those RPOs would still be entered into FIDO because you are submitting documentation to work comp. I just
right.
wanted to
yeah.
throw that out there for clarification, because I think there's a line of thought out there across some departments that think, well, there wasn't really a true bona fide injury, then that doesn't have to go into FIDO.
That's correct. That's our rule, yeah. Anything that's reported to workers' comp, you're supposed to report to us through the injury reporting program.
Thank you.
Quick question.
Uh-huh. Yes,
on the same thing, on page 122, under the abstract, bird's eye view, you know, tell them what you're talking about. 75% of the departments have reported. Perhaps some of those nearly 200 didn't have an injury. Be surprised if they didn't have any injuries. And even like to what Chair Steelman's talking about, you know, even just a report, and it's not necessarily a question for you, but might be more like for Rick and the compliance officers. Is this part of when we go out and do, when TCFE goes out and we do our inspections for each department, are we reminding them? I know if they tell us there's not an injury, there's not an injury, but are we reminding them that they need to be reporting injuries? Is that part of our inspection?
It's my understanding that it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner Glenn, there is. It's on the worksheet that they make that
okay.
about vital injury reporting.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess you all have had a chance to review everything. We can go through it page by page if you want to. I don't really have anything super significant to report to you, except for maybe take a look at the burns and the cancer.
Could I ask a quick question just before we get off the abstract page? I know it says our reporting rate was 75%. Do you recall or have what it was the last time the report was compiled?
I think it was 74. It was
okay,
right in the same range.
So we're going, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure we're going up and not down, because I know we
yes,
struggled
sir.
Getting out of the cellar for several years there with this.
Right,
okay.
Right. So, like I said, if you want to talk about anything along the way, let me know. We can kind of go through it. I was going to talk about burns a little bit, which is on page 139. So let me head over there. So we have noticed an increase in burn injuries in the last couple of years. Let's see. Let me see. Where am I? Okay. So up on table 18 up here at the top, from 22 to 23, we went from a total amount of 112 to 142. That's about a 27% increase. In burn, that doesn't necessarily mean that burn injuries are increasing, but the ones that are being reported to us are. So, but these are the type of injuries that Rick's team in compliance goes out and they do, at least they ask about it. I mean, they can't say for sure what they do, but that's on their list. These are investigatable injuries. And then if you look at table 19, let me go down a little bit here. Right here, we've got injuries to the ear. Kind of went up a lot from 9 last year, or in 2022, to 23 in 2023. That was something. And then what was the other one? Oh, the lower arm I wanted to mention. That was kind of a big increase as well. So that went from 10 up to 22. I don't know. These are just things that I'm noticing. So I brought it to Mike and Rick's attention, and I guess it's on their radar. So if they see anything going on with PPE or whatever, I guess that'll come out. But I'm not exactly sure.
Not to interrupt, but if we could get in the weeds on this for a minute.
I'd like to.
I'm going to have to own this one. This has been my one soapbox issue during the regional meetings. Compliance Division is doing a lot of work on this. And there's a lot to say here, but I'm going to try to keep it to this for a minute. In 2020, the injury report for the year 2020 had burns at 9%. All right, and more than once I've made the statement, at least in 2020, 2021, it was safer to be at a fire in Texas than it was to be in the firehouse because we saw station duty injuries on the rise, a significant rise. What we're seeing this year is we've progressively come up from that 9%. We're closing in on 20% in this year's report, the 2023 report. We've taken a more aggressive and hopefully friendly approach to investigating injuries. We're focused on burn injuries. Rick can elaborate on this quite a bit. There's a variety of reasons we believe that we're seeing this increase. The optimistic view is that we've gone on a campaign in the last 18 months to drive home the fact that was talked about a little bit earlier about reporting these injuries and the requirement that they must be reported. There is a huge villain in our society today. It's called social media. And I will tell you that I am guilty of, in the evening time, I'll get on social media and I'm looking for one specific thing, and that's firefighters, whether they're friends of mine or departments or whoever that I'm following. They report, and whether they intend to or not, but they glorify the injuries that have occurred. Such fire department made a fire today. 3 firefighters were injured. 1 poor bastard's in the hospital, intubated, and we're hoping for the best. Please pray for him. We might not see that injury reported to us for 6 months or longer. And so we're making note of that, and I hate to admit we're using social media, but we're following up on that. These are some significant injuries. If you look deeper into this report, you'll see the lost time, in particular for burn injuries, has increased with the increase in burn injuries. Without getting in the weeds and the details, I personally, to the chagrin of staff, I stopped at a fire one day in a city in Texas and had the unfortunate opportunity to watch a firefighter fall through the roof while they were doing ventilation operations. He was encapsulated in fire from that roof for almost 30 seconds while his crew worked to get him out. When they got him out, he was still alive, thankfully. His gear was severely damaged. The individual will probably not return to duty. This was a career-ending burn injury. Full disclosure, I called Rick Wallace immediately and said, I just saw something I probably shouldn't have seen, and we need to get on top of this. We did not see the report come in the timely manner, the 5 days. I made a phone call to the fire chief. I met with him, showed him, unfortunately, the video I had of what I had witnessed, and we worked with that department hand in hand, compliance staff and their internal investigation, to produce a report and try to identify that. We have left it up to that department to share that report. Certainly, the information is available if somebody wanted to open record it. However, I believe in a show of good faith, we want them to identify their own issues and address it. We don't get into tactics. That's not in our authority. And that's a conversation we could have for years, and nobody's going to agree on different tactics. We're not trying to go there. The problem we're seeing, we're having more injuries. We're having more burn injuries. We're trying to aggressively investigate those in a partnership with the departments involved. We've had, Rick, help me out, 6 or 8 actual investigations where we've joined with the department to do that.
But, yes.
Yeah, but as we sit here today, we have 30 open investigations, whether they be for injuries or compliance complaints that we have received. Folks, this is a problem in the state of Texas, and we have an obligation as a state agency regulating this to get on top of this. Our approach so far, and I hope we can stay here, is to approach it in education and a partnership to work with the departments. The real goal here, the PPE is not protecting them. We need to know why. Is it because of the way it's manufactured, or is it because we're pushing the limit of that? I don't think there's any secret here, and this is not a political statement, but there is a faction of firefighters in the United States pushing back on safety right now. I don't want to take a stand on that either way, but the numbers are showing us we're getting burned more frequently and more severely, and we have an obligation to investigate those and understand it. You'll see moving forward from us and our legislative appropriations request, I want to split compliance and investigations into 2 separate divisions. I'm going to ask to add some staffing so that we can focus more on these investigations. But I appreciate Grace pointing it out. She pointed it out to us early on. We were already seeing it. And all this report is telling me is that there is a problem. And fortunately for us, I think we're already on it. But I don't think it's going to go away overnight. I think we're going to have to remain vigilant and somewhat aggressive in figuring out why this is happening. I also have to say, firefighting is a dangerous job. It always has been. It always will be. We have an obligation to go in and get the people that need to be rescued. That's what we're here for. I don't think the fire commission in any way, shape, or form would ever not support that. But we need to do a better job in education. The departments need to do a better job in making sure that their staff are trained and aware of when those decisions to change your tactics need to be made. And I had to get on my soapbox for a minute. And I'm doing this at every regional meeting. So far, nobody's hit me or thrown anything. But I think this is probably the most standalone significant reason why we get this data, and we need to do something with it. So I don't know if Rick wants to add to any of that. He probably doesn't. He enjoys throwing me under the bus when we get to this part of the meetings. But we are very serious. Staff's very serious about this, and we're going to continue to preach this. And we would appreciate any support or any input from anybody on this. I'm done. I'll get off my box. Rick's going to come up and save me.
I'm just going to stand right here. Good morning. My name is Rick Wallace. I'm the Division Chief of Compliance. I just wanted to give you a real quick overview. We were talking about burns. In 2023, we investigated 123 burns, and we're finding that a contribution of the largest number of that is due to most likely the PPE being placed in a position to where it is failing to protect the firefighter from its burns. It is getting to the point where our group is focusing on those burns. We've got 2 or 3 different theories that we're working through right now. Hopefully we can put something together and have some good discussion later on.
Rick, are you seeing much when they go out with departments being compliant with the after-action reviews?
The departments that we're investigating and doing joint reports with, they're doing their after-action reviews. That's an integral part of what we come in and take a look at. We've actually worked with one department in the state of Texas where we identified some burns. We actually requested to come in and sit down with their staff and spend a day. And we broke down all of their burn injuries and suggested, I guess would be the best way to put it, that we work on some plans and how to move forward, and the feedback that I got from that was very positive. That has to be supported from the fire chief down, obviously, for the big brother to come in and do something like that. But I think it worked really well. That one time was great.
So I'll throw myself in the grease here. I was that department. The Longview Fire Department was one of those first departments that had the opportunity to sit down. We had three significant burn injuries in a short window of time, and I welcome the opportunity to have Rick and his staff come in and walk through those burn injuries with our command staff, because it exposed some things that as a fire chief I wasn't aware of. I don't make every working structure fire, but it gave us a great platform to hopefully implement some corrective actions in the sake of keeping our firefighters safe. It exposed some things that we need to strengthen in policies, procedures, and I didn't look at it as a negative at all, because the most important thing for me as the fire chief is the health and safety of our people. That's our most valuable resource. And if we're failing or falling short of being able to do that, is if it's a culture thing, an equipment thing, a policy procedure thing, then I have an obligation to that commitment to their health and safety to take those corrective steps. And I was more than happy to partner with Rick's compliance group to initiate that process moving forward. And if you get any of the rest of you get that opportunity or get that phone call, don't look at it as a negative, because I can tell you firsthand that it's not. It was eye-opening. There's things about it that as a fire chief I was a little, I'm not going to say I was ashamed or embarrassed, but I'm glad that I had that opportunity. Otherwise, I might not have known. And I see the injury reports. I review them once a month, but I really wasn't diving in deep enough to look at the cause and effect. And this process really caused me to pump the brakes and say, yeah, we've got to work on some things here. We're great, but if we're hurting our people in the process, and at the end of it, a lot of it is, culture, decisions. We're trading skin, but we're not saving skin. Does that make sense? And in almost every one of our cases, we're giving up firefighter skin, and we're not saving civilian skin to do it. So that, to me, that's not a good trade. We're saving skin for properties that's going to be bulldozed 2 weeks later. That's not a good trade. So that was the win for us in the Longview Fire Department, was going through this opportunity to kind of raise that flag up a pole to say, look, we've got to start doing things a little differently here, or we're going to go, we're out there teeter-tottering or flirting with a dangerous line. That's the last thing any of us want as the fire chief, right, is to have that LDD. So to have to cross that line, and these are just subtle warning signs that you better stop and pay attention to. So to me, that's the real value in it. So I thank the commission for the process, and for all of you out there, just because I'm the presiding officer here, I still wear a fire chief hat at home. So I still have that obligation, and I fall under the same authority of the fire commission that everybody else in the room does. So that's my 2 cents worth.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Cupney.
I'm not a fire chief, but in my former life, I've worked in departments where we've had trends in injuries like this, and Jim Reedy probably can speak to this better than I can, but what we found in the last department I worked in was some injury trends. They were hands, and it turned out to actually be the gloves. We made the assumption the personnel weren't wearing their gloves appropriately, but because of current social media crazes, people wearing cameras and stuff now, we were able to see the firefighters were actually properly geared out when they went in. But the other thing is in the state of Texas, we tend to follow with our PPE the lowest minimal TPP rating because it's so hot here, which is 35. And if you get buried up into a fire, even not that deep, a TPP rating of 35 can be, you can get heat from that pretty quickly. And so it didn't take long for us to understand on our side, some of that was the way we were specking out our PPE as well as compliance with our SOPs. But some of it was actually related to the PPE itself. So.
Yes, sir. That's one of our working theories, is the possibility that since COVID, there was some supply chain issues and departments are having to change possibly the quality of gear because the better quality, the higher TPP ratings are just not available. And it's going to take a little while to go back and review the the reports and everything and see what the departments were using prior to and after the supply chain issue and whether or not that was a contributor. We also have firefighters that lack skinny jeans and skinny gloves, and so we're seeing some compression issues as well, just because they don't understand the fitting process.
Right. I agree with that. And my point to this, Mr. Chairman, is that when you've identified the issue, and I'd ask Jim to speak on the TPP rating, when you identify this issue, it requires you as the head of the department to make a change in tactics, because your people are going to be exposed to something at a much earlier phase than they're accustomed to, not to mention the change in building materials, processes, and the change in the makeup of furniture today. Jim?
So you want me to speak?
I'd like you to speak about the TPP ratings, and you know historically we've had some problems in San Antonio with that.
We have, and it's about specifying gear. The supply chain issues are a real deal, and one of the problems with the supply chain issue is people will start to buy off the rack pre-made stuff that doesn't fit their firefighters as well as it should. That's just a function of it. I've heard up to 6 months on some of the supply chain issues, depending on what you're buying. That is starting to come back around. But, yeah, TPP 35, I mean, you might as well just stand outside the house because it's pretty light stuff. I would say probably you have to be in the 40s now. And with the new durable water repellents on the outside and then the changing in the moisture barriers on the inside, we're not seeing right now anything above 44 TPPs with the new age gear, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, I mean, you have to be aware. Plus, with the product's combustion being that much more flammable as opposed to 15 years ago or even 10 years ago, we're seeing higher heat fluxes and in a faster fashion. So, yeah, I mean, you gotta pay attention. You gotta put a group together, and you can't just buy how it feels. Some people are buying a couple of different gloves on how they feel, and what happens is depending on which country in Asia they're being made in, depends on sometimes the quality. And a lot of these companies now, to cut costs and keep their profits where they are, is they're just looking for the cheapest manpower overseas that they can make things. So that's not a commercial for buying the USA. That's just the reality of what goes on. And hoods are the same way, too, as we transition into better particulate blocking hoods that are a little thinner. You have to get used to that when you're going from a thick one back down to a thinner one too. So, and culture is a problem. I think I might have shared with Wisco. I do Facebook a lot just to do research for speaking, and some of the stuff I see on there is incredible. Yeah, I saw one from a large department in Eastern Texas that talked about how proud they were of the guys, and they burned up three sets of gear. They burned up two space masks. One guy got burns, but man, they did a great job. You know, he was promoting that kind of culture, I guess, for lack of a better term. But yeah, supply chain issues are a deal, and you have to pay attention. You got to order ahead of time, and you got to do some planning, logistical planning. But yeah, and as far as NFPA goes, I wouldn't even worry about that standard coming out, because it might be another year now for the 1971, so, and 1851 will probably be delayed too. So I hope that answered what you wanted to
do. It does. And the last department I was talking about, the TPP rating on our gear, as I recall, it's been a minute, it was 37, and it was passing through pretty quick. So thank you.
Everybody else?
Thank you, Jim.
All good.
All right, y'all. The only other thing that I really wanted to bring up today, if you can go to the page on cancer, and that would be page 143. Now, this stood out to me. It may be really old news. I mean, I'm just not super sure, but let's see. It seems to me like the testicular cancer kind of skews a lot younger. I mean, that's news to me, so I just thought I'd bring it up. If we're talking about getting early screenings, it seems like that's happening more in the 30s and 40s, whereas, you know, skin cancer a lot more in the 40s and 50s and stuff like that. But if we're talking about needing a reason to get earlier screenings, I mean, that might be one of them. So I thought I'd bring that up. And those are the two things that really stood out to me in the data that we got this year for 2023. But if y'all have any questions or want to talk about anything else.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Would it be possible at trending relative to the cancer, similar to what the other injury reports show for the last 4 or 5 years or whatever?
Yeah.
I just think that would help.
It's possible. What kind of data would you like to see?
I don't know nothing necessarily has to address every single type, but at least the number reported, I mean, I think everybody knows what it's going to look like,
right.
But I'd like to see it.
Okay, you know? Yeah. We could get like 5 years worth and something like, yeah, okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Commissioner Jones.
So looking at this, and first off, Grace, as always, great job on this, and I think this is a very valuable tool for departments to look at. I know we have it now where annually the entire department has to review it and look at it. And, you know, we see it, but it's things like this where you catch things that we just look at. And then so I really appreciate, as I told you in email before, the job you always do for the fire service. And great job to Rick and his people, because much like Commissioner Glenn, I've had calls from firefighter departments, and, you know, pass it on to Rick and him and his group get right on it to make sure. And I want to just echo what Chairman Steelman said to the chiefs in there is, man, Rick and them, I've been around them a lot, and they're not there to browbeat you in that. They're truly there to help you improve your department, because you're in this job because you were a firefighter once yourself and you wanted to be safe, right? And so you want that for your department. So I can't say that enough, that calling Rick and them in is not a badge of being scolded. It's they're truly there to help you improve your department. But with that said, I think there's a lot of good information here. You look at it, you see the thermal burns went up, the ear burns, and I think we have a lot of value tools. So I would entertain a motion and like to make a motion to move this for review to the Firefighter Advisory Committee to look at and dive through and talk about. You know, we have some great people there to get some input from them on this and be able to maybe talk deeper with staff on some of this to figure out what's going on, you know, to give you guys better look at things and some different perspective for the next meeting. So I would make a motion that we move this firefighter injury report to, or the fire department injury reports to the firefighter advisory for their next meeting.
Can we take action on it? Or is this
discussion? We should be able to move. Can we move for them for review?
Historically, you have, yes. Clearly,
even though it's listed just for discussion, we can still.
Can you re-ask the question?
Well, I'm just, so it's listed for discussion. There's no possible action listed on it. Can we just, can we go ahead and take that action anyway?
You could move to make an action item.
Okay.
So I have a motion to send this to Firefighter Advisory for their review and hopefully their comments at our next meeting. I have a second. Motion by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Wilson. Is there any other discussion?
Yes.
Chief Wiskill.
At the back of the report, the current draft, page 146, as always, and this seems to be one of the more challenging pieces of this report, we need some recommendations, whether they come from you or a firefighter advisor or both. So I point this out, one, to ask for those recommendations, but two, I need to reiterate that your next meeting will be August the 15th. We have to have this completed report submitted to the State Fire Marshal's Office for publication by September 1. So you don't have to give us recommendations today. I know the advisory committee, if they get this, they will have some. But if you have any between now and August, please email those to us so I can get them to Grace and we can get them in the final draft of this before that August meeting.
Okay, thank you for that. So, Commissioners, please be sure to submit your input before that next meeting date. Okay, so I have a motion on the floor by Commissioner Jones, second by Commissioner Wilson, to move this to advisory. Is there any other discussion?
I have one.
Commissioner Johnson.
I'm looking here, and on where it says station duties 23%, and I really appreciate this, Grace. It really illustrates very well.
What page are you on? Sorry.
What page are you on?
I'm on page, on your pie chart, on page 129. And I was just wondering, where it says station's duties 23%, if it was could be a further breakdown of what station duties was those accidents, more like is it cooking and grilling, or is it vehicle fires, or electrical?
You would be amazed.
These have a breakdown, so we, you know,
it's not always honest.
I love firehouse cooks, but you know.
I'll speak for Grace. That would be really hard to give you a breakdown that would not take about 50 more pages and probably raise a lot of eyebrows too. We might not even have the data, because that is just a category that they can click when they're submitting the report. I'm not sure it's broken down other than actually in the description that may or may not be provided. That might be hard to accomplish before August. We can certainly, moving forward, we'll work on that, but I don't think we could accomplish that for August.
Only ask to know the problem would be to start to have a solution to it.
Right.
Shenanigans.
We will take that into consideration for the next year's report, but I don't think we could accomplish that.
I'm just going to say, for a friend, you can't break a tooth juggling a croquet ball. So I'm going to leave it there.
I see it.
Okay. Any other discussion? Commissioner DeVille.
Just as the nurse in the room, one of my first patients that I lost was a 21-year-old with testicular cancer. There is no excuse to not have a yearly physical. Get in, get examined, and take care of yourself. Because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of me in a crisis, and I may need one or all of you. So I would appreciate very much if you all self-care.
Thank you for that.
Good. I'll ask, could we capture that as a recommendation? Would that be all right moving forward?
Sure.
Go ahead and capture that. Okay.
Sound like one to me.
We'll make a note of that.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, we're going to move this to advisory. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed? That motion passes. So we will move on to aisle number 18.
Discussion regarding the 2024 TCFC Customer Service Survey.
All right, Commissioners, this is a biannual requirement. The first caveat, and hopefully you guys will appreciate this, I know staff did, I made a decision. This has to be part of the strategic plan when we submit it on June the 1st. For the purpose of this extremely large notebook for this meeting, I directed them not to attach it to the strategic plan since it was a separate agenda item in here. So just know, moving forward, we will take this customer service report and attach it as a piece of that strategic plan that you read earlier. Simply didn't put it there to keep from adding about another 30 pages to this notebook for you before you got here. The second point I need to make, I'm going to fall on the sword for a moment. In 22, if you'll remember, we pushed out this survey about mid-January. And somewhere around the first or second week in February, we got an email from the LBB that they wanted to change the formatting of some of the questions. That created a situation for us, and that, one, I felt maybe we jumped the gun, and so we had to re-push a survey with the corrected questions as directed by the LBB. All that to say that this year, when January rolled around, I asked Grace to put the brakes on pushing this out. I wanted to give the LBB a chance to offer any suggested changes. We reached out to them on multiple occasions asking if there were going to be changes. We kept getting back. They weren't ready to answer that yet. Suddenly we rolled around to, we need to get this done because we have to have the report out, compiled, and ready to go for June 1. So the part I'm falling on the sword on, this was only available for folks to respond to for a two-week period in April. We got a response from the LBB. We're not going to change anything. we pushed it out. We couldn't push it out for longer than 2 weeks because we needed 2 to 3 weeks to be able to gather the information and put it in this report. Moving forward, we will get this out earlier, and we will pester the LBB a little bit faster about any recommended changes. At the same time, I'll tell you that staff, with the help of our council, we kind of retooled some of the questions to make them a little more appropriate and a little less wordy, if you will. We still believe the survey was probably a little too big, but it went out as it was with a few changes that we made. You'll see there were only 219 responses. Just my own opinion on that, people will only respond to surveys when they're mad about something. We did see some negative feedback, but we saw an overwhelming amount of positive feedback. We're already working internally to address the negatives in there. And moving forward, staff has a suggestion or a thought that we're going to have an ongoing survey. Whereas if you have a dealings with the agency, at the end of that last email or at some point, we're going to ask for feedback. We're going to solicit that, much like a fire department does now. When you finish a run, you may or may not hand out a card and say, please take a survey, tell us how we did. We're going to institute that moving forward so that we have a year-round assessment. Clearly, we'll still do this required one every 2 years, but we're hoping to attack this a little more in depth on an ongoing basis. So that's all the comment I have. It's certainly here for any discussion that you have.
Commissioners, any questions or comments or thoughts on the customer service survey? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on.
All right.
Item 19.
Matters from the agency chief, including A, update regarding agency duties and responsibilities, B, decision of the agency chief in contested cases and consent orders, and C, status regarding division functions as follows. 1, training approval and testing, including test administered, training approval, record reviews, and online training audits. 2, certification and professional development, including training applications, IFSAC seals issued, certifications issued, training facilities, curriculum development, library resource requests. And 3, compliance, including biennial inspections, compliance officers training, issues involving regulated entities. Finally, 4, information technology, including public website design, farm and phyto improvements, CAPS, IT security policy, and service requests.
Thank you. Commissioners, 19A, just an update. I've got a few items here. First and foremost, I want to give you an update on the status of this room. You'll see it doesn't look any different from your last meeting. The reason for that is really multiple reasons, but after the last meeting, I revisited with facilities and kind of addressed the attendance issue that we have and the proposed downsizing of this room. That caused them to go back to the drawing board. They had to go out for bids again. We got the bids. They're ready to do the work. There wasn't enough time before this meeting, so we agreed we would wait till after this meeting. I'm going to sit here this morning and tell you that we've taken more pictures and even a video today of how full this room is as it currently sits, and I'm going to have some more conversation with facilities. The goal is to try to keep this room just the way it is with the addition of a dais for you all, but I'm going to tell you that my experience so far is this isn't going to be a fast process. We're going to get this room right, but it's going to take some more negotiating and discussion between us and facilities. The next thing I wanted to cover is signage. One of the complaints we got in the customer service survey that you may have read was the lack of signage here in the new building. We're working with facilities on that. We've submitted the work order request. The feedback we've gotten is they're going to get on that. Again, I'm not going to say that's going to happen in any record time, but it is an issue, and we're trying to address signage both in the parking garage on how to guide you to this building, in front of this building, and then when you get inside of this building. So we've got 3 separate requests in, and we're going to continue to follow up on that. The next item I wanted to discuss, our regional meetings. They're going great. We've had 6 so far. We wrapped up 2 this week. Our next 2 are going to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. June the 4th, we're going to be in Prosper. June the 5th, we'll be in Fort Worth. These meetings are going well. Our attendance continues to be very good, anywhere between 30 and what we saw yesterday, over 60 people in these meetings. Great dialogue. I'll tell you from the staff standpoint, these meetings have been very beneficial to us. We get a lot of feedback. We're able to come back and look at issues where folks are having heartburn, try to address it. We've made some changes over the years that we think we've improved the situation, and we've gotten feedback that, in fact, we have improved it. So we hope to continue this. I think the earlier discussion about making that an option for the head of department is only going to help bolster the importance of those meetings. But if anybody would like the schedule, it's available on the website under News and Events, Regional Meeting tab, or I have the schedule right here. We can get together after the meeting, and I can tell you where the next one is. An exciting endeavor that we've embraced here, working with other state agencies. We have joined forces with TECO and DSHES, the EMS certification folks, and we're trying to tackle improving the mental health awareness for all first responders out there. During the last session, there was a mandate handed down to TECO on the law enforcement side. There was a similar effort to try to improve what's going on the fire and medical side that didn't come to fruition. But what did happen was TECO and DSHES and the TCFP started talking. We've had two meetings already. We're going to have another meeting in June where we're going to try to bring in both TEKS and the University of Texas Health Sciences Group out of Houston to try to come up with some tools, online self-assessments and resources available to try to improve this. So the goal at the end of the day is that we figure out what's going to work best for us and approach the legislature for maybe financial support on that. In response to or maybe to prevent mandates from the legislature that may or may not work. So we're working with TECO and DSHES on that, and that's going very well. The next issue, we conducted a mandated employee survey earlier this year. The results came back. Clearly there's some concerns. There's a few things we can address. There's a few things we can't. It has to do with pay and benefits. Nonetheless, we have pushed forward with developing an internal staff committee to help us identify ways to make some improvements in the areas we can. And the LAR will address some of the internal concerns of pay and benefits as well. And that's about the best we can do with that. But I've always had the opinion if we don't ask, we can't even be told no. So we'll continue to work on that. The last issue is just a point of reference. Earlier this week, they had a state agency directors meeting at TDEM talk about hurricanes and the forecast for this year and how we're all going to work together to support that. And meetings like that continue. We continue to work to support TIFMIS, to support TDEM in response, and we will continue to do just that. That's it for agenda item 19A. If any questions, I'll certainly try to answer.
Commissioner Cuthill, it's more of a statement. First of all, thank you very much for collaborating with the partner agencies, TECO and DSHES, on the mental health. I think that's an important issue. And while I agree with the legislation from last session where there was requirements for mental health training for firefighters and emergency medical service personnel, I understand the reason that didn't move forward, and hopefully this will address that gap. Second, I wanted to congratulate you and your staff because, you know, it's pretty evident that you are moving in the right direction. I appreciate your attention to pay and internal working groups and bringing the employees together to look at what can be done to improve the working situation within here. But you've and your staff have taken it from a 25.5% turnover rate in 22 down to a 7.5% turnover rate in 23, which is very impressive. And I can't thank you enough, Chief, and what the work of your staff does. The culture of TCFP has changed so much. I applaud you and your staff for that.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Cody. Any other comments? I will make one just to add on. I know several of the commissioners, and this is in regard to the regional meetings, more so pointed toward our civilian commissioners. If you get an opportunity to attend one of those in your area or anywhere around where you live, I would highly recommend that because the dynamic of those meetings is totally different than this. And it's just a good experience.
So I would highly encourage you, if that comes around, to work with staff to make a, you know, make a way to make sure you can attend one of those at some point, just to see what those processes look like. So anyway, that's my 2 cents for regional meetings.
Okay. I'll move on to 19B. Nothing to report here. We're doing pretty good at not having contested cases, and I credit staff again for that. We tend to work through all the concerns when they come up, and people go away satisfied, at least from what they're telling us. 19C, you were able to read the different division reports about what's going on. I wanted to point out a couple under the training approval and testing. You saw a new a grade tracker providing information on how the pass ratios are going and things like that. We are seeing some improvement. One of the important points at the bottom of that was the number of written exams versus online exams. And clearly, the fire service has embraced the online piece. I will tell you, there are some challenges with that. We rely on our partner testing centers. We still get beat up a little bit in the customer service survey about all the additional fees. And I just want to point out that the biggest complaint seems to be the fee to show up at a testing center and take a test. That is not a TCFP fee. That is that testing center providing that. We're also constantly worried and trying to monitor and stay on top of test security issues at these testing centers, and that's an ongoing endeavor on the part of staff. The other thing I want to point out, and I'm going to ask Dick, and I look like Cliff's there too, did you want to talk about the testing piece?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Morning, Commissioner Stillman, fellow commissioners and audience. My name is Cliff Grant. I'm the Deputy Chief here at the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. I just want to offer some explanation about the new part, the new grade tracking that you're seeing in the testing, training, and approval section. It breaks it down so far as it goes, it's by year, then it'll break it down by quarter, and then it'll break it down by month. So we have the numbers from 2022, all the way until present time now. So if you see a 0% in one of the months for one of the disciplines of the test that we give, that means there were tests given that month, but nobody got them. If it's a blank in the sheet on that spreadsheet, it's just a blank, that means there were no tests given during that month or that time to give any numbers. And the reason that it's blank, if there's no numbers, if I put a zero in there, then it's going to skew the numbers. So the blank doesn't skew the numbers. So the next month, if there's a test, I put the pass rate in there, then the numbers follow the thing. It just ignores the blank. So I just want you guys to understand, if it's a zero, means tests were given, nobody passed them, or if it's blank, that means no tests were given for that discipline that month.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
On C2, Certification and Professional Development, Certification Group has worked diligently for our IFSAC evaluation and renewal. We're still waiting on word back. Everything was corrected that they identified and has been submitted, and we're just waiting to hear back. But we have no anticipation other than we will be reaccredited. We haven't found any issues. There was nothing we couldn't address in that. C3, Compliance. I'm going to ask Rick to come up because he's got a great spiel for you. They're finding a particular issue out during their compliance inspections, and I think we need to get it on the record, not only for you all's benefit, but for everybody here and listening today.
Now it's your turn to put me under the bus.
Yep.
Okay.
Look out there. Okay.
So this is a great platform, and I appreciate the opportunity. I'm going to ask for all the chief officers in the room to help us in compliance. We're seeing a rise in something that's somewhat disturbing, and safety is the number one thing for us. We want to make sure that the guys that you have working under you, they go home at the end of the shift, they have a good, fruitful career, and they get to go fishing at the end of that career. One of the things that we're starting to see is leather straps, leather chin straps on helmets. How many of you guys know for a fact that you have leather chin straps on helmets in your firehouse? Yeah, I wouldn't raise my hand either, but Chief Wisco's got a good story, but I'll let him tell that one. We're seeing a lot of leather chin straps out there, and there's two things that's occurring. Number one, you've got somebody in your department that is a leather worker, and he's making these leather chin straps. They are not NFPA approved. Then kind of were looking around and had a couple of chiefs call me up and said, hey, we found some EPA-approved straps. And we sure did. There was a company out of California that's selling what they're billing is NFPA 1971 approved chin straps. Leather. Beautiful. Not as awesome as the guys that make them locally, but they're pretty awesome. We started digging into it, and what we found out was that chin strap is only NFPA approved for the Phoenix helmet. It's not approved for any other helmet out there. The helmet, as it comes out of the box, the chin strap is part of that NFPA 1971 approval process. So if you change that strap out, it has to be a strap that is NFPA 1971 approved. I reached out to a couple of the big manufacturers in the area and said, hey, here's what we're seeing trend-wise. What do you guys think? And they were not real responsive in giving us any type of approval for those products being placed on the helmets. Doesn't sound like that big a deal, right? It's kind of like stickers. Well, you know, sticker kills a fireman. We got a big problem. Well, unfortunately, in the last 18 months, we've had two firefighter injuries attributed to the leather chin straps. One of them ended a firefighter's career. One of the straps let go because of the snaps and because of the Velcro had failed. It was not thermal Velcro, and they just got into an environment that exceeded it. Wherever they bought the Velcro, let's just go with that. And the individual was injured. He also had inhalation injuries because as the helmet came off, it also took the mask with it. Mm-hmm. The other one was a little more significant. It was the breakaway clip on the side. It was not thermoplastic, so it yielded early in the fire. What happened was is during that event, there was some collapse stuff going on, and the firefighter did not have his helmet on, and it fell on his head, and unfortunately, he probably will not ever return back to firefighting. So this is something that's going on. Your guys will probably ask you if they can put something called a tally strap on. It's just a long leather strap that comes down to here. Supposedly, it enhances or reduces the amount of time that it takes them to get ready to go. As a matter of fact, in one of our surveys, we're ruining the fire service, evidently, by not letting them use the tally strap, preventing them from saving lives. But the problem is we're injuring firefighters with this. So I'd like to ask if we could, you know, get out there, take a look. I know how emotional it is to adorn our helmets with our, you know, war spoils or whatever it is out there, but if we could do something about it, help us, I would really appreciate it. Any questions about straps, see me, we'll talk about it. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rick. And if I could just point out for the record again, please remember that the NFPA standards on protective clothing are in the state law. They're in 419. It's not something that this agency or these commissioners have established. It was established by the state law. We have to enforce compliance. Does a great job trying to be as nice as they can about it. But when it comes down to not being NFPA compliant, and now we're seeing injuries because of it, we're going to take a stand on that. And the reality is, they're being worn out there today, whether the fire chiefs are aware of it or not, and that's not a statement to be critical, that's just the reality of the situation. But if we find it, we are gonna note it as a violation and ask that it be corrected. I'll tell you, I thought the Cali strap was pretty cool. I put it on a trophy helmet in my office that reminds me every day I was stupid once and almost got killed. But Rick came in and told me I had to take the strap off. So I'm using it as a dog leash now. But anyway, I wanted to get that on the record. It is another serious issue we found out there, and we're trying to address it. The last part, C4, IT. I can't say enough about the work our IT folks did. You saw a little bit of that with what Commissioner Johnson walked us through earlier on the application process. We were lucky enough to add another person to our IT staff last session, and they're doing some great work. Without spilling the beans, they are working diligently, and we hope within the next 12 months at least to have some drastic upgrades and improvements to the website and the FIDO system that may even include a mobile app capability. But they're working on that now, and they're able to do so because they got some help in there. And so All in all, staff does a remarkable job. Chief Coatney, your comments earlier couldn't be any more spot on. They're the smartest ones here. I just get to represent them, and they do a great job every day. So with that, I'm done, but also open to any comments or concerns you might have.
Commissioners, any comments or questions on item 19? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item
19. Recognition of Commissioner Jones for his service to the commission.
So I'll ask Chief Wisco, if you don't mind, we need to go out front or you can come around back. We'd like to recognize Chief Jones. As he's alluded to, this will be his last commission meeting with us, and he hadn't been bashful about piling more work on us on his way out the door. But if you'll stand up. Chief Wisco, you want to come around? We do have a few little parting gifts, and I want to say a few words about you. So in recognition of your near 15 years of total service to the Texas Commission on Fire Protection, with some of that being on Firefighter Advisory Committee from April 2009 to August of 2015, and then sitting here with us as a commissioner from August 15 to today, we'd like to present you with this plaque, just a little token of our appreciation for your diligent service to this agency and the work that you've done to help make the Texas Fire Service better. So please accept that. Congratulations, and I'm excited for you. It's bittersweet. I know you're opening a new chapter in your life, but it's been a pleasure and an honor to get to work with you and know you. We started out on advisory way back when we were just kids in the fire service, and I've learned a lot by being around you, and I've always appreciated the you telling me the things I didn't always need to hear or wanted to hear, but you've always been that guy that you just lay it out there. So I appreciate that. Congratulations.
Thank you, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thank you. What other little parting gift we have for you here, just again, the stuff you can put in your office at home or wherever you go next, but just a little commemorative little desk plaque with your name on it.
Thank you.
So, again, it's been a pleasure. Would you like to say a few words?
Absolutely. So, you know, like you said, we haven't always agreed, and we've had a lot of discussions downtown and here. But whether we're on either side of it and with the chiefs or whoever in the audience, it was always to make the fire service better. And, you know, it was an honor to be able to coming to a job, wanting to be a firefighter, and walk away feeling like that you really got to make a difference in the fire service. Jim Reed took me in the very first day I came to my first commission meeting to sit in the audience and to help me to get on the firefighter advisory, and then Chief Wisco bring me in, and then you come in, and DeGear, and, you know, Cliff, and Grace, and Joyce, and Rick, and just, man, and everybody on the commission here serving with you, my brother Glenn, Michael Glenn. Man, it's just been an honor. And while I'm moving this next chapter in life, I encourage you guys to keep moving forward to make the fire service safer, and just continue to remember that whatever decision we make here affects people in the fire service, but there's also employees that work for the commission that are behind this that have to carry out these things. And so remember them in it. But thank you to everybody. Thanks to my department for always backing me. I got three of my brothers here that came up in the fire service with me that are now the top three guys in Burleson's agency. So, man, it's just overwhelming. And like I said, it is a new chapter in life. It all started off as a joke, like everything in the fire service, that became a reality for my wife and I to retire. And I get to step away and spend more time with my family. And I just wish you all the best, and just thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item 21.
Personal matters regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, and duties of the agency chief.
Commissioners, anything on item 21? Okay, seeing none, we will move to item 22.
Adjourn meeting.
I will accept that motion.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Jones. Second by Commissioner Coatney. Any other discussion? Before I close, to the audience, thank you all for being here. Safe travels home. Some of you may have to travel through some bad weather going home, so please take your time, drive safe, and we look forward to seeing you back here in August. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.